Let's just recite the word of God. Say, I am filled with the knowledge of His will.
I am filled with the knowledge of His will.
In all spiritual wisdom and understanding.
In all spiritual wisdom and understanding.
Now, when we are saying these things, I want you to meditate upon them. In fact, shut your eyes so that you will think about those words. Digest it, all right? So let's start again. Say, I am filled with the knowledge of His will.
I am filled with the knowledge of His will.
In all spiritual wisdom and understanding.
In all spiritual wisdom and understanding.
I walk in a manner worthy of the Lord.
I please Him in all respects.
Say like you believe it. Say, I please Him in all respects.
I
want to hear you like you believe it. Say, I bear fruit in every good work.
And I increase in the knowledge of God.
Once again, say with conviction, I am filled with the knowledge of His will.
In all spiritual wisdom and understanding.
Declare this loud like you believe it as the word is coming forth this evening.
It meets no hindrance
as it penetrates into my heart.
It brings light
and it brings life to me
in the name of Jesus.
Say it, I receive life
from the word today
in the name of Jesus Christ. Now bless the person beside you. Say, I pray for the fellow. Touch the fellow, somebody beside you. Say, I pray for you,
that you will have understanding,
and you will receive life from this word,
in the name of Jesus Christ.
Turn to somebody else and do the same thing, all right? Tell the fellow, I pray for you,
that you have understanding,
and you receive the words tonight,
and from that word,
you will receive life,
and you will receive light.
In the name of Jesus Christ.
Hey,
let's continue praying. Say to the fellow, your confusion is broken
by the entrance of this word.
Say, your obstacles are removed
by the entrance of this word.
So you receive strength
to surmount every obstacle
in the name of Jesus Christ.
Say,
for you,
stagnation is over
because the word is entering your life.
In the name of Jesus Christ.
All right, let's just give the Lord thanks. Say, Father, we thank you. Just thank Him your own way. Just say, Lord, we thank you. In the name of Jesus Christ. The Lord is good. I said, the Lord is good.
All
right, let's continue. It's our school of prayer. I said something some time ago. That's, I think it was last week, actually, on Saturday, and I think on Tuesday. That the things that we are teaching on Saturdays, I feel like we can use them to pray on the following week. We take those things and bring them to the place of prayer. I've been talking for some time about God-centered praying, and I feel so strongly that it's one of the most important things for us to learn in this season, especially because of our environment. Although I say once in a while there's an African problem, I don't know how much of Africans, how many Africans behave like that. Although we're all black people, and black people have a common problem if Jesus has not redeemed them. You know that? All black people, they decrease until Jesus redeems them. So thank God you are redeemed. Amen?
Amen.
Otherwise, I won't even talk to you too. Without Jesus Christ, the servant of servants, that is what they are. And you see it in their mentality, their way of reasoning. That's how it is. It doesn't start when God wants to condemn people to slavery. It doesn't just say, I won't let you prosper. It removes the ability, it removes wisdom. They make decisions. You know, these are decisions of slavery. All right? The Lord is good. So anyway, this point we are making is this, all right? What I'm talking about is that Africans generally have a mentality, who is responsible syndrome. You know, we've talked about it. Everybody is after me. It is not my fault. It's the witch's fault. It's my enemies, the people that don't like me. So we gather as Christians a lot of times, focusing our prayers on enemies. The best-selling books in today's Christianity are those ones that deal with your enemies. The biggest congregations are those that gather to fight your enemies, helping them to die, helping them to somersault, causing them to scatter. Those are the things. Now, I'm not saying that we don't have enemies. I keep on saying. I am only saying that for the Christian, your enemies are only as strong as your relationship with your God is weak. That is all there is to it. The stronger you are in your relationship with your God, the weaker your enemies become automatically. Many times people give testimonies that show that they are sinners. Many times my wife has told me stories, people told her, finally they confessed that for after 20 years, it is those our neighbors that have been afflicting us. They are the reasons that we have not done well. That's the reason why my brother was sick 15 years ago. It's the reason why my cousin died 8 years ago. They finally confessed that they are witches. When I hear such things, I'm ashamed for the person. You have just confessed, yeah, you are a sinner. That's all you have done. The only person a witch can effectively, all right, afflict. You have sinned against God, and the hand of God is against you. That is why the witch is having power over you. But we are learning the word of God, and it is teaching us that word, that the enemies are not a problem. That's why the Bible says clearly in Psalm 23, He prepares the table before me in the presence of my enemies. Despite their presence, He anoints my head with oil, and my cup still overflows. Despite their presence, goodness and mercy is still following me all the days of my life. Despite their presence. That's what we're talking about, God-centered praying. So our prayers are not focused on how do we tackle the enemies. Our prayers are focused on how do I walk closer with my God. That's what the prayers are focused on. That's what we're talking about, God-centered praying. And on Saturday, I began to talk about the righteousness that surpasses that of the Pharisees in our Habitation of God series. We're talking about the purification of the Spirit. So let us go back there and read again. That is sure, because there's something I want to bring out. I'm going to bring two scriptures that we are going to use to talk today, and we will pray with those scriptures. We are reading from the book of Matthew, where the Lord Jesus was speaking, Matthew chapter 5, and he was teaching about the righteousness that surpasses that of the Pharisees. What we'll be talking about in that righteousness of God, in that habitation of God matter, is that God's plan is that we should be the dwelling places of God on the earth. We read from Psalm 114 that we saw that when God's presence is there, the obstacles will move back. All right, His presence caused the sea to part. His presence caused the river Jordan, all right, to stop flowing. His presence caused the hills to shake. His presence caused His enemies, all right, to be overcome. That is when the Israelites were going into the promised land. The Bible tells us that this was how God dealt with them. The people in the land, the enemies of the Israelites, we hear that they are coming, and they will run away ahead. They hear that they are coming, and that was the presence of God, all right? Sometimes the presence of God will come, and then He will send hornets, troubles ahead of the children of Israel into the land that they are supposed to take. And the inhabitants there will run away even before those people will arrive. And that's what they call the presence of God. And that's what we read that from Psalm 114. And then we read from Psalm 132 that what Jesus came to do, as reflected in that prayer of David, was that He wanted to build, that's what Jesus was doing, the habitation of God in the hearts of each one of us on the earth. And we said that when God is inside our lives, many of the things that people call prayer points are actually not prayer points. They get solved automatically. You will notice that when the disciples were on the sea, and the sea was tossing their boats there and there, after Jesus told them to go to the other side, and they were alone, and now saw Jesus walking towards them, as soon as Jesus stepped into their boats, the wind ceased. He did not pray, did not rebuke the wind. He just stepped into their boat. Many of the troubles we have in life is because God is not in our boat. God is not in our home. Jesus said that if a man loves me, he will keep my word. Then the Father will love him, and I and my Father will come and make our abode with him. We live in his house. We live in her house. What that means is that many of the troubles the fellow will have experienced will automatically stop. It will automatically stop. I told the story of one brother. We were at the mechanic together. We were just gisting, waiting for our cars to be fixed. And he told me how an evil spirit used to follow him around. He didn't use the word evil spirit. Because of spiritual understanding, I knew. An evil spirit was following him around, and it was either that spirit was the spirit of death, or it went about preparing a road for the spirit of death, all right? And he kept on having a feeling that somebody is around him. He couldn't see the person, and he had a feeling that he was going to die before a particular date. And then one day he gave his life to Christ. That's what I'm talking about. Jesus stepped into his boat, and that spirit left him alone. He said he did not even remember that matter until long after. He just realized one day that, wait, I've not felt that funny feeling, all right, in a very long time, of somebody following me about. And then a few days before the date, he always knew he wouldn't live beyond, Suddenly people attacked him. They pointed the gun at him at close range and fired. But just a few minutes before that, he had taken some actions without knowing that lifted a part of his car, the thing that winds the glass up and down, and that thing blocks the bullet. And the man who was observing, he saw the spiritual play, actually. And the fellow went to the police and testified that I saw them kill the owner of that car. And he turned and said, he happened to have gone to the police station about the same time. And I said, oh, are you talking about my car? I'm the one. They did not kill me. He said, no, I saw them shoot you and you died. And the man was laughing. And when he told me the story, I said, what that man was saying, that's what would have happened if Jesus did not enter his boat. Jesus entered his boat and the storm ceased. He didn't have to pray about it. All right? So what do we need to do? To pray about the entrance of Jesus into our boats. He said, behold, I stand at the door of your heart and I knock. That is, many Christians, Jesus is not inside their boat. Do you understand my point? And that's what we're talking about. How to ensure that he's in our boat. And I've been emphasizing, that is what prayer is about. Prayer is not about your enemies. Don't get up at night facing those who are not facing you. They also think you're an enemy. I hope you understand that. They also think you're a witch. You think you have the monopoly of accusation of witchcraft? So you see, don't worry about those people. You know, I've been saying this again and again and again. Why do I have to keep saying this? You've heard the opposite so much. I mean, if you've been hearing witches after you for 20 years, I need to preach at least 2 years for you to understand that even though they're after you, it doesn't matter. Do you follow my point? What did I say? That's what I want you to hear. That's what I want to hear from your mouth. What did I say? It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. My neighbor is a witch. That's his problem. Or that's her problem. She's the one that's paying money to buy goat and sacrifice. Anytime I buy goat, it's for working. Praise God. It's true. I will never buy chicken that's not feeding me or feeding somebody I love. Ain't buying no chicken for no gods. Do you know what I'm saying? Any god wants chicken, go and buy your own. Do you know what I'm saying? Any chicken I buy is for me and my loved ones. If I love you, I buy you chicken. I'm not sacrificing chicken to anything. So it's the witch that is suffering, not me. You know, just by the way, those who join cult, they try. Oh, real suffering. You know the cause of suffering. Do you know me? I pray when I like. If I feel like sleeping, I sleep. You know, I keep on saying, they say, your enemies are not sleeping. I say, that's their problem. There's no rest for the wicked, says the Lord. I sleep if I feel like sleeping. The only reason I pray is because I feel like praying. I know men ought always to pray and not to get tired. And I know the things I should pray about. I don't pray out of fear. That's why, when you pay your tithe, devourer will run away from you. I will eat that tithe and wait for the devourer to come. Let us see who will get eaten. I don't pay anybody any title word of any stupid devourer. Devourer has his level. He knows his level. Whether I pay tithe or not, devourer does not come near. Where did you read in your Bible that the reason why Job was not afflicted was because he tithed? Nonsense. So if you want to give money, be a giver. Amen? Amen. Want to give money, be a giver. All this, God, I don't pay you now. Come and watch my back. That's why you were that early. I'm not joking. When I say all these things, you are just buying trouble for yourself. You put yourself in a level where the Satan will accuse you uselessly. If I want to eat my money, I eat it. If I decide I'm not giving my money, you can't hold me. It's my money. Is it your own? It's not Satan's money. He can't accuse. He can't say he's a devourer. He's coming after me. In fact, he respects himself. When they asked, have you considered my servant Job? What did he say? No, I don't go near that place. You have surrounded him with the edge around, roundabout. Being a Christian is sweet, though. It's all this evil. No, there's one thing my mother used to quote all the time. I don't know the English equivalent. It's a scripture. But she says in Yoruba. I don't know the English one. Anyway, literally what it means is that to the sinner, the sinner has been committed to suffering. That's what it means. From the time I was young, he said, Eleshe laugh, Ishefu. You know, it rhymes in Yoruba, you know. It rhymes. Eleshe, Ishe. Esha is sin. Esha is punishment, you know, suffering, you know, being under. Me? I'm a child of God, amen?
Amen.
I have been set free, amen?
Amen?
I don't do anything because of fear of anybody. I do things because they are right. Why do I give to the work of God? Because I don't expect the Muslim to give to it. That's it. If I don't give to the work of God, who will? I remember those days. I've left my message now. But don't worry, we have to keep talking. I can't fight the anointing. I just have to let the Holy Spirit say what he wants to say. You know, shortly after I came to Enugu, I started working in UNTH, where I still work till now. My wife and I decided I wanted to buy my father a car, just to give him a present, you know. Of course, the car he had was old, and it wasn't earning the kind of money that would help him buy another one. Now, I didn't have the money, like, just take money. All the money I earned from working in the hospital for one whole year was what I used to buy it. So what were you eating with? I work in the university and the hospital both side by side. So the allowance from the hospital didn't even pay me for almost a year. So when they paid the money, after I had been working for almost a year, I just gathered the whole money. I even added some to it and sent to my friend who used to bring cars in. So my wife and I were not discussing, hey, some people now say, hey, this man has money now. So maybe relatives now want to start pouncing on you. So I was talking to my brother, my younger brother, Deji, who many of you know. Remember that day I was living in Transekulu. So we're driving that. Well, he and I were talking. I said, some people say, I have money now. That's why I bought my father a car. I said, if I say because of that, I will not buy him a car, who will buy it? Do you understand my point? You look around. Of all the children he has, I'm the only one that look like I attempt that kind of thing. Do you follow my point? My younger brother, Deji, was still in school. How many people were working? I said, so if my relative said that, it's because I have money. That's their problem. When you phone me, I won't answer the call. What I'm telling the story is that. So, for me, is that if I don't do it, who will do it? To sponsor the gospel of Jesus Christ, who will do it? Elijah Aliko Dangote. Didn't you hear the first part? What's the first part? Al-Hajj. I expect his money to go to the mosque. Unless God takes it from him by force. So, I give to the gospel. I give for the propagation of the gospel. Because I believe in it, I love it. I'm not using the money to pay off anybody. I'm not using the offering to pay God off. God blessed me before I had the ability to give. While I was yet a sinner, he was giving to me. I'm not giving anything now because I'm going to get from him. I like the fact that I'm a believer. Some people, you know, say, don't give that man money. If you give him money, your good luck will disappear. I say, why do you go around confessing that you're a sinner? A beggar on the road wants to collect your money. You are afraid. Your good luck will disappear faster if you don't give him money. They say, don't just buy any ring you see on the road, though. Whether they have used the ring to do juju now, you don't know. I don't care. Once I pick the ring, the devil will apologize and leave it. He says, sir, don't be angry. Let me go to the one a sinner will buy. So I buy my ring and wait. Some people, the night before wedding, they are casting out the demon from the ring, from the goldsmith. If I need a new ring, I tell my wife, please, when you go market, let me bring it. I bring it, I just wear and pull up. No cast. The devil wait there. Wait. You will go to hellfire faster if you remain there. So the devil, they won't let you prosper. Try. No, that's my own. Say, devil, you can't. Try now, I'm waiting. Listen, it's good to be a Christian, amen?
Amen.
When you go and preach, don't be preaching to people. Come to our church. Never go to our church. Say, okay, you are suffering. And that's why you can't live like unbelievers. You have to live freely. You go to a village, you are afraid. I say, there's someone, but hey, don't touch that mango. There's one juju man used to stay under it. If the mango is in the public square, eat it. The only reason why you shouldn't touch mango is if it's in somebody's private compound. You shouldn't be a thief. Those who are sinners are suffering. They are suffering. You, as a believer, you are enjoying. Like one of our brothers wrote one article, and that we are publishing our next edition of this, our magazine. He said, we are the lucky ones. Yes. He said, we are the lucky ones. What does it mean? You know, maintaining one woman is cheaper than maintaining three women. Do you know that? If you're a married man, say amen. If you believe it, say amen. You know, it's cheaper to maintain one woman than three. If I have to buy an expensive phone for a woman, it's just one. What to say I get two babes where they hide somewhere? I know those babes are the useless ones. They will now be calling you, say, no, I don't like that one. Something my wife can't tell me. So, you know, I'm the one that's enjoying. Do you understand my point? Yes. I'm not, I don't have to hide anything. Oh God, righteousness is good though. Righteousness is good though. The Lord is good. I said the Lord is good. One day my brother-in-law, you know, we traveled. God, Israel, when will I get to my message now? One day we traveled, we were in my in-law's place. So my brother-in-law, my wife's a younger brother, wanted to help. You know, he helped me wash some of my clothes. So afterwards, so in the evening, just came. I said, bros, may I see you? So I'm like, what is it? I was seeing my wife, just called to the side. So he just quickly passed a set of earrings and gave it to me that I found in my pocket. Earrings. Do you understand? He found earrings in my pocket. He was helping me wash. So I said thank you. So where we're seated, we just left, went to the next sitting room. And my wife was seated in the other sitting room where we were for. So I just swung the door open. I just said, baby, see your earrings we're looking for. Do you understand what I'm saying? Literally, my wife was looking for the earrings. She didn't know where she kept them. So apparently one day she just said, please hold it for me. And I collected them and tossed it in my pocket. So my brother-in-law was having watch drive. And I found the earrings. He said, maybe bros don't go, you know. So while he was watching, I called the earrings. I just said, hey, girl, okay, see your earrings, though. Where did you find it? I said, I found it in my pocket. Wow. See? If it was the other kind of person, you know, he would say, you first check who really owns this one. Is it? The Lord is good. The Lord is good. Oh, we are the lucky ones. Believe that, say amen.
Amen.
I know a man who, rich man, senior manager of one big bank in Nigeria, and one of the, you know, in Nigeria, there are branches that are, those of you are into banking, you know what I'm talking about. There are branches that are the branches. Like when you have a branch near main market in Onitsha, you know, that's a branch. If you have a branch near the port, you know, that's a branch. Branches where on a daily basis you do 1 billion naira in turnover. You know, billions, not one. The one I'm talking about. That's where this man was a manager in Lagos. Those are the people that taught me not to fear, not to love money, because I saw how they used to make money without sweating. Those days when dollar was hard to come by, somebody would call him and say, manager, please, I have $100,000 I need to sell. Are you interested? So wait. He will call somebody else and say, I have $100,000 to sell. He knows that person needs dollars. Just by sitting in his office, okay, pay the money into here in the US, okay, you pay it into my Naira account. The guy could rake in 5 Naira, between 2 and 3 Naira on each, you understand, each dollar. Sitting in his office. On $100,000, that's 300,000 Naira. You know, that's a lot of money. Except I remind you that I, as a post-NYSC medical doctor, was earning 5,000 in a month. Do you hear what I said? In the whole month. 5,000. I'll just do phone call, like 300K, it don't balance. That one, I said, God, I will never struggle in this my life. Let's make an agreement. I will follow you, you will make me. If you say poverty is my portion, I will take it, I won't complain. But to struggle for money, God forbid that. Money you struggle for will never bless you. Just do what is right, obey God, and God will bless us in this season. That was when because my colleagues were doing three jobs. to get 15,000 in a month, they will now be putting 10,000 naira aside on the car they want to buy a 70,000 naira car after 7 months. And you see them walking, like when they're walking on the road. All the troubles of this world. Because he wants to drive a car. And I said to God, please, if you will not bless me, let me be poor. No, I said it to God. But this kind of struggle, not my portion. I rejected it too. I saw that men who were enjoying this life. I was there, you know, I was in the center. You make one or two phone calls. Okay, yes, it goes to make a few phone calls. For making the phone calls, I remember the one I'm talking about, 35,000 naira. They didn't steal. Legitimate business. That is seven months of Ebola exposure. Do you know my point? No, look at this Ebola. No, be nurses and doctors are killed for Nigeria. It was nurses and doctors that died from the thing. Those who are trying to help other people. I remember I stitched wound with my bare hands once because the man was bleeding. And I got the key person. That is bare hands. No gloves. The man was bleeding. Somebody stabbed him in the back. I had to stop the bleeding. I stitched his wound with my bare hands. I won't do that today. For how much? 5,000 naira a month. Oh God. Thank you for deliverance. Yet men will just be, just talk. Ha! So I came to one conclusion. I have realized that the race is not to the swift. The battle is not to the strong. So favor is not to men of understanding. He said it is time and chance that happens to them all. When we look under the sun, if you look from above the sun, he said it is God that shows mercy. If I say, God, what do we do so you will show us mercy? He said, follow me and I will make you. I said, thank you. So where are you going? He said, okay, come here. I go there. Then one day they say, Pa, go to Enugu. He said, but by the way, before you go, marry this girl. I marry her. I said, let's go. So that's why I realized, especially after I now got the scripture, Isaiah chapter 66, verse 12. It said, behold, I cause prosperity to flow towards you like a river, and the wealth of the nations like an overflowing stream. I said, that one, I will never beg and I will never be poor, and I will go anywhere. So now I was living in Lagos. They said, money is in Lagos. There's a line. Money is wherever God sends me to. He said, go to Enugu. Off to Enugu we go. The Lord is good. I said, the Lord is good. I digress into that, trying to explain the fact that we are the lucky ones. Like that, my brother wrote the article. We indeed are the lucky ones. All right? Okay, so you remember, I know where I took up my tangent. I'm trying to explain the fact that we are not centered on the devil. It's those who are in cults that are suffering. They are the ones that have to offer sacrifices. Buy goats. He says white with behavior. Before they find the white goat with behavior, their problems have killed them. You know, boy. My own goat with all the behavior necessary was sacrificed on the cross of Calvary. You understand what I'm saying? Yes. Yeah, so if you say you need goat, I say go to cross of Calvary. Say you need turtle dove, cross of Calvary. You need money, cross of Calvary. Any offering you need, go to Jesus and collect it. And that's what I mean by we are the lucky ones. We are not praying because of the devil. We are praying because we want to be better related with our God. Matthew chapter 5. We read this on Saturday. It says, for I say to you that unless your righteousness surpasses that of the scribes and Pharisees, you will not enter the kingdom of heaven. Now remember this. We said that it is by this righteousness that God is able to dwell in our hearts by faith. It's by righteousness. We said there are two types of righteousness. There is a positional righteousness which we attain to because we have faith in Jesus Christ. But we said specifically, that was not what Jesus was talking about here. Here, he did not lower the standard for us Christians. If anything, he heightened the standard. The difference is that he gave us the power to obey him. Are you getting my point? The law came by Moses. Grace and truth were realized through Jesus Christ. What does that grace mean? Grace is God's power that's available to those who are willing to obey him. That's it. You know, he said that Ezekiel was speaking in Ezekiel chapter 1. He says, such was the appearance of the glory of God. When I saw it, I fell, all right, on my face. And then I heard him say to me, saying, son of man, stand on your feet that I may speak to you. He said, when I heard that word, this I like to comment on it all the time. This is somebody who could not stand by himself. This was somebody who fell because of an overpowering influence. How do you tell such a one to stand to his feet. Do you understand my point? And God saw his heart that he wanted to stand. So the Bible says, Ezekiel was speaking chapter 2 now. He said, the Spirit entered into me and set me on my feet when he spoke to me. And then I began to hear him speak to me. That is what happened was that God saw that this man cannot stand by himself. So that word, stand to your feet, was not advice. It was not a request. Do you understand my point? It was a command. It was like saying, let there be light. So what was he saying? Let Ezekiel be on his feet. Do you understand what I'm saying? And then the Spirit entered into Ezekiel and stood him on his feet. What are we saying? That's how it is. This righteousness of the Pharisees, if we are going to attain the one that surpasses that of the Pharisees, we will attain to it. We must attain to it. But what we have as an advantage for because of our faith in Christ Jesus is that we have the Spirit of obedience that enters into us and sets us up on our feet anytime we hear a word that is difficult. Are you getting my point? Like I like to tell a story like this. If you ever read the story of Corrie ten Boom? Corrie ten Boom, she went home to heaven some years ago. You know, she was a Holocaust survivor. All right, she was in concentration camps and she survived. But she saw the Jews. She was a Jew. I don't know whether she was a Jew, but she was a minority, one of those people that was put in the camps. And her sisters died there. Then one day after, she was going around Europe preaching forgiveness. Preaching forgiveness. You don't understand what they call suffering. You know, she suffered. If you know what the Jews went through in those camps, she suffered. All right? They were treated. Listen, they used to use human beings as experiments, you know, for experiments. So what will happen if we remove a man's eye and remove his nose and, you know, things like that? You just collect a few of them, do that to them, observe them. There were doctors like that were experimenting on human beings. That thing was more than, look, you wouldn't treat animals worse than those people were treated. Once you show any sign of weakness, they kill you. This woman was there. She saw guards beat her sister to death. Then she went around Europe preaching forgiveness after the war. Preaching forgiveness after the war. Preaching forgiveness after the war. Then one day a man came up to her and said, oh, that was such a powerful message. And stretched out his hand, said, well, I was so blessed by it. Stretched out his hand to shake her. And she recognized him, one of the guards in their camp. Hey! She recognized him. She has been going around preaching forgiveness. Preaching forgiveness. She said, God, this one passed me. Then she began to pray. And next thing you knew what, her hand got up and shook the man. Do you know what I'm saying? Shook the man. I don't know the details of the story. But that was when forgiveness poured out of her into him. Jesus would not say, you know, I know you've been treated badly. You don't have to forgive. He said, forgive. He said, but I can't. Say, I know. You can't. So what are we going to do? Then you will turn and ask for his help. Then he will pour forgiveness into you. And then suddenly you will be an oasis of love and forgiveness. And people will look. They won't be able to understand. How can this woman forgive that man? For everything that she did to him in that camp, how could she do this kind of forgiving? This is the kind of forgiveness that spoils this world. But what am I talking about? That's what we mean by grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. Jesus will not take any excuse from you for why you can't obey him. And there's a major reason why he won't take that excuse. We'll look at it in a moment again. So we are reading this again. So Jesus was saying to us, our righteousness must surpass that of the Pharisees. We talked about that on Saturday. Like I said, I'm not preaching the message again. And he gave a few examples. You have heard that you must not murder. And I say to you, you must not even be angry with your brother. Hey, don't kill. We can understand. I won't buy a gun. I won't go near a knife. I will keep my distance from him. Is that not good? That way I won't kill him. Is that not so? I won't kill him. But he said, listen, you must not even be angry with your brother. Okay, we'll listen. What are you talking about? Because anger, I can do it from a distance. Even if I'm in New Zealand and he's in Nigeria, I can remain angry. And Jesus said, that is the righteousness that must surpass that of the Pharisees. You must not let anger stay in your heart. He said that you have heard, thou shalt not commit adultery. He said, oh boy, Don't say man, but no be firewood. You can't look too much with your eye. Say, but God, I never touch. He said, doesn't matter. Once the thought stays in your heart, you have sinned against me, if you're a believer. That's what Jesus was saying. Now say, I'm the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Say, I know. I'm saying that righteousness that you are in Christ Jesus should purge your heart so that the thought of lust cannot stay there. And he kept on talking, giving examples. The commandments of Jesus Christ were tough. Tough. But the good side about it, like we said, is that he didn't just bring the commandments. He brought the power to obey them. Let's read the other scripture. Hebrews chapter 4. Quickly, let us go there. Remember, it's our school of prayer. I know what I'm doing. I'm not, like I said before, we are taking the things that we have learned on Saturday, talking about the teachings of the Word of God in this area. We're bringing them to the place of prayer. All right, the Lord is good. So, the book of Hebrews chapter 4. I explained this to us before. Just go over it again. This book of Hebrews, I said there is a progression from chapter 1 down to chapter 4 here. Chapter 1 was talking about the supremacy of the gospel of Jesus Christ and his person. And then chapter 2, it explained the fact that we have to be careful to obey the words that we are hearing through this gospel. In chapter 3, he began to tell us about those who disobeyed the word and what happened to them. He explained that they could not enter into the rest because of unbelief. And then in chapter 4, he now was amplifying the fact that we have to therefore be careful so we can enter into the rest of God. How do we enter into the rest? I wanted to say, how do we enter into that rest? He said it's by obedience. Disobedience means we can't enter. Obedience is the way by which we can enter. And that's what we're talking about again today. Obedience can be difficult. Remember the story I told just now? Corrie ten Boom has suffered under the Nazis. And one of them came to her while she was preaching forgiveness. And came to... The man did not even recognize her. I mean, who will he recognize? There were so many of the slaves and guinea pigs that they were dealing with. He didn't recognize any one of them. All right? So, but she came. So he came to her. This time around, she had to obey the word of forgiveness. The word that says, love your enemies. Do good to those who despitefully use you. And she had been preaching that word. Suddenly, she had to obey. If she did not obey that word, she would not enter into his rest. I talked on Saturday, gave an example of R.J. Lotono. Lotono was a brother dealt with him fraudulently, let's put that word. Demanding money that it was not his right and threatening to sue. And he had right on his side. He had the law on his side. He had morality on his own side. So he told the man, go to court. We'll meet in court. But the Holy Spirit said to him, give him the money. Listen, that's not easy. And that's what Paul was teaching us in the book of Hebrews. That it happens that we get to a point that obeying the word of God is difficult. Forgive, there are things that are hard to forgive. Listen, let's not deceive ourselves. There's no point trying to be strong. Like they have a saying in Western Nigeria. They say, it's a person whose war has not yet met that calls himself a man. Do you understand my point? That you say, I'm a man. It's because you have not seen war. That when you have been to war, you know that, oh boy, when they do ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta in your ears. Those who have been there, they know. So, are you getting my point? And that's what happened to Peter. Peter said, I will never, for what? To the king, you know how much I love you. Jesus said, I understand all of you. Now, he wasn't angry with Peter for loving him. He was warning Peter that this your self-confidence will not get you far. That's what he was just telling him. So, he had to demonstrate to Peter that no matter how good you feel about something, life can still be hard. So, Hebrews chapter 4 here was now saying to us that whether life is hard or not, it cannot be used as an excuse because Jesus came, went through the hard life, and solved the problem of disobedience through a particular method. And he's teaching us that same method. And that was the method by which he carried the disciples into the garden and said, for me, this is my own level of temptation. I said to us before, temptation has different levels. There are temptations of steal that food, don't steal that food. You know, touch that woman, don't touch that woman. That was not Jesus' level of temptation. These are temptations you cross early in your Christianity. Do you understand? You know, a man came to me once and, you know, They overpaid me. This was years ago when I first came to Enugu. They were paying some money to us, those of us consultants there.